All right, welcome to the download live from... Bruno is going to be here in just a couple minutes. The Lady Blue Demons are in the Sweet 16 coming up this weekend, facing Oregon State after upsetting Louisville, huh? Give it up for the Lady Blue Demons. I mean, seriously, it's probably the most successful college basketball program in the area, and it's time to jump on that bandwagon. Coach Bruno here to talk about the tournament. Also tonight, we're going to get you up to speed on the candidates for police chief and also the big vote tonight that CTU is authorizing a strike for April 1st. They got together tonight and they authorized it. So if you got kids in CPS, you might want to pay attention to that news. Mike Fouché is going to be here from AlderTrack to catch up on all the week's political news. And we are at Pequod, so let's talk food. Monica Ang and Louisa Chu from the podcast Chewing will be here to talk GMO funny business, the James Beard Awards, and, of course, pizza. And a little bit later tonight, we got some of Chicago's best improvisers here at Pequod's for another installment of Character Flaws. This is our improv sketch hour that we do every Wednesday. Tonight, Chip Lakeless from Sports TV's Let Me Finish will bring us some expert sports points counterpoints. And we'll have some dynamite international improv from the new Australian group Juxtaposition. All that, plus news, weather, and traffic with our man Rob Martier back at the station at Esmeralda Leon. Pete Zimmerman's right next to me here doing production, and I'm Justin Kaufman. The download until 11 o'clock here on WGN Radio. All right. Should we do the carryout, Pete? Let's do the carryout. This, of course, is our nightly segment where I read the newspaper, so you don't have to. All right, let's get to it. All right, here are today's top stories. Tonight, the Chicago Teachers Union met with members to vote on an April 1st walkout. And they did. They did it. The teachers will not be in school, leaving your kids to either A, play in the gym all day, or B, to get their math lesson from the janitor, or worse, just hang out in the 7-Eleven till 3 o'clock. It's always good in front of the Slurpee machine. And for you, that's an unpaid day off. Thank you, CTU. I'm telling you, I think this is just an elaborate April Fool's joke. They took a lot of time setting it up, and I'm looking forward to the payoff. I think they're going to go, April Fools! We're not. We're going to teach your kids. Who's the fool? Well, I guess we'll find out, won't we? So the developers behind the failed spire, you know, the spire, the skyscraper, don't really know what to do with the hole they dug. I don't know if you saw this story, Pete.
Yeah.
So what they did is they just put some dirt over it like a dog would. That's essentially what they did.
Yeah.
Actually, it's behind a mound of dirt. So, like, if anyone's playing touch football, and they're like, throw it long, and they run, and they go past the dirt pile, they're going to fall into a big hole. Let's help them out, Pete. What do you think? I have some ideas for what they should make with that hole. I mean, you can't really fill it in because it's already structurally there. So I say you build the Lucas Museum nearby, and then that play lot is in the back. This would be the play lot. And you put some teeth and a weird tongue, and it could be that, like, Tatooine sand mouth that eats Boba Fett at the beginning of Return of the Jedi, you know what I'm talking about? Like when Han's, like, shooting the leg of Lando Calrissian, he's like, you're blind, I can see it! Like, that would be great. That would be a nice little tourist attraction. What would you want that hole to be, Pete?
Can you just dump cement in it and make it a skate park?
Yeah, like a skateboard park.
Yeah, like they used to do.
Yeah. Like a Diggable Planets video?
Yes. Yes.
Or who's the guys who do Deeper Shade of Soul? Those guys. Deeper Shade of Soul. That whole video is like them doing skate parks.
What about?
Or as we joked about the other day, that means that somebody tries to do an ollie like one little second where they're like, ah, sorry, screwed it up. I say you do a an ode to Bozo. It's one big bucket. It's, instead of the Bozo buckets, it's the Bozo bucket. So you put little ping pongs into that spire hole, and everybody wins a prize because you can't really miss, right?
What about just putting a big "You Are Beautiful" sign up in there?
Like an art,
yeah,
making
like
an art exhibit.
Like an art exhibit.
Yeah, yeah, like we're like modern art. Oh, that's what this city needs more of, public modern art. I think you should make it the world's largest carnival ride, the Gravitator. You know, like the old where you kind of like stick to the side and it spins around. It's the same, like if that was the, I mean, so much throw up.
Yeah, that's that's like one, I think somebody died on one of those.
Really?
Yeah, that's like the scariest.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
Because this would be the world's largest or fastest or whatever you call it. Those things are well, we play the worst on Mondays. We'll play the worst. Chicago was named the best city for dating by somebody. I don't know who. Probably somebody who has a vested interest in saying it's the best city for dating. Like a gum company, right? But nevertheless, it is. I haven't dated in years. But I would think New York City was like a walking first date, right? I feel like about New York is like, oh, I saw you on the street. Let's date, right? I don't think about that in Chicago, but it... Like, what's a first date here in Chicago? You go to Kingston Mines, you pay the $20 cover to see Blues, and then you go walk up and down Diversity until you find an authentic Irish bar. Maybe wait in line in Wrigleyville. You know what I used to do first dates, Pete? You like this. When I was a 20-year-old, single, living in Lincoln Square, I'd take first dates to the library. What you do is you go in there.
Read magazines?
No, you go in and you look for the Choose Your Own Adventures, right? You don't remember those?
Yeah.
They have them in the library. And then you're like, you're having a moment, you know? And you ultimately, you look better than everybody else that's in the library because it's just homeless or guys without their shoes. So your date's like, wow,
good.
You're a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
You got a collared shirt on. And then you don't have to spend so much money until you find out if they're legit. All right, welcome back to The Download Live. Broadcasting live from Pequod's Pizza in Chicago, home of the world-famous caramelized crust. How's everybody doing? Happy birthday over there. We got a happy birthday. What? 18th birthday, and they're not here yet. So it's a surprise. Everybody, be quiet. It's a surprise party. We had no idea. We're live on the air. All right. All right. So we are live here at Pequod's Pizza doing the carryout. Let's get to some sports. First, the weather. You know, it snowed today in Colorado. So
it's coming here.
8 inches or so. So get ready, Chicago. A little snowy Easter weekend for you. Are you ready for a white Easter?
That doesn't sound right.
I love that song. In sports, so what's going on with the Blackhawks? You know what, though? Look to the history. The Hawks kind of limped into the playoffs last year. Everyone had them out early. This is what they do. They're like when I used to play Sega hockey. You know, like I would personally let the computer score 6 or 7 goals just to make it interesting.
Yeah.
I think that's what the Blackhawks are doing here. I mean, the losers, I guess, are us, because at the end of the day, they're going to get a lower playoff seed, so we may lose a Game 7 at the United Center. The Hawks will still win the series, but we won't be able to... You know, go to the West Loop and party. I guess we can still do that when they're on the road, but the Bulls got the Knicks tonight and then again tomorrow night. So when the Bulls win both of those games, you're going to be talking about a 5-game winning streak just in time for the final slide of the season, right out of the playoff hunt. Oh, man. What's up with that team? There was a big story in the New York Times today. The New York Times wrote about how the Bulls were supposed to are actually following the mold of the Golden State Warriors by trying to bring a Steve Kerr-like coach in. He got all the pieces there. Now they're going to go from good to great. And it was about how it didn't happen. And so it's just it's like the New York Times is writing about the Bulls.
The Bulls were hiring Fred Hoiberg, was supposed to be like Steve
Kerr.
The
idea was, yeah, that's the idea that like if you brought offense to this team that was already defensively minded, this was going to be a championship squad. Instead of adding free agents, they added a coach, free agent coach. So Hoiberg was supposed to be the guy to spread the floor. They did a whole, like, I would say like a page or so on Doug McDermott not playing defense. Like, that's what the whole story was essentially about. Doug McDermott doesn't play defense, and Joakim Noah is hurt. That's it. That was the story. That was the New York Times.
Yeah. All right.
Say, we got some press in the New York Times.
Oh, great lady.
Real strong. Things are looking up for the Bulls. Let's talk about baseball.
Yeah.
Chicago Cubs. There we go. Listen to that. That was such a pandering move by me. I just said the Chicago Cubs just to get a clap.
It works.
I love Joe Maddon. We were talking about it yesterday. Joe Maddon is just becoming, he's really growing into the Cubs coach, but he's going past it. Like what he said about the fashion.
Yeah.
If you look hot, wear. We joked about it yesterday that he's starting to look more like Guy Fieri from the Food Network.
Yeah.
You know, he's got the spiky hair.
Yeah, he's got the visor and the, like the white spiked hair. He looks like Guy Fieri.
He's going to be quick. He's going to have his own show on Food Network. Chopped. Chopped with Joe Maddon. We're back live at Pequod's Pizza. We're broadcasting from Pequod's at 2207 North Clybourne, home of the world-famous caramelized crust. I'm Justin Kaufman here on WGN. Coach Bruno coming up here right after the news. Very excited to have the best college program going, college basketball program going in the Chicago area. The Lady Blue Demons, huge upset of the Louisville squad. Everyone's talking Louisville. And DePaul came in and said, enough of that talk. So now DePaul goes to Sweet 16 against Oregon State, the number 2 seed. We'll talk about it coming up after the break. Also tonight, we're going to talk about the big vote tonight. CTU does authorize a strike. They're going to walk out on April 1st. What you need to know about that. We'll also talk about the police chief search. Mayor Emanuel is looking for a new top cop. Mike Fouché from aldertrack.com will be here to talk about that. And then Monica Ang and Louisa Chu are also going to be here. I'm very excited to have them here to talk about their podcast, Chewing, but also about a great story that Monica did about GMOs and lobbies and essentially the money that's being put in to make sure that funding for GMOs and studies on GMOs kind of go the right way. So we'll talk with Monica Ang and Louisa Chu about that coming up. And then the 10 o'clock hour, we'll have some sketch and improv here. TJ Shanoff, Sandy Marshall, Adam Witt. We'll have that haul in the 10 o'clock hour. That's Character Flaws, which we do every Wednesday here on the download. Get the stories that make the city with unlimited digital access to award-winning Chicago Tribune news. Become a member today at chicagotribune.com. DiGiorno and WGN have teamed up for an amazing new contest to enter, pick up a DiGiorno pizza, take a photo with it, showing your Blackhawk spirit, and upload a photo to WGN Radio's contest page. You'll be entered to win a luxury box at the UC, sponsored by DiGiorno. You and 15 of your closest friends will go to the April 3rd Blackhawks game against the Boston Bruins. It's called Get a Box, Win a Box, brought to you by DiGiorno. Remember, upload your photo of you with the DiGiorno box to WGNradio.com/contest, and no purchase necessary. But I want to ask Coach Bruno before we get to the news, and he's coming on right after the news, is I'm not a big fan of the fact that the regionals have home field advantage, home court advantage. So Connecticut is playing in Bristol. Baylor is playing in Dallas. Kentucky on the other side is playing in Kentucky. Like where the games are being played has representation in the Sweet 16 from the top seeds. I don't like that. I feel like that, like our DePaul, it should be, you know, like that's not fair to DePaul having to go. Yeah. If DePaul can withstand Oregon, withstand the 2 seed, they're going to get the Elite Eight against Baylor, which is the number 1, and they're playing in Dallas. I don't think that's fair. Coach, that's just my opinion. I don't want to put you on the spotlight. I want to ask you about that. It's kind of weird. So we'll talk about the best college program going right now, the Lady Blue Demons here in Lincoln Park.
It's the only basketball team that matters going.
Right? I mean, seriously. We haven't seen much on the men's side at all from any of the programs here, whether it be the U of I or any of the other mid-majors, Loyola. And I would even say you can even expand that maybe to some of the other sports, but we'll stop just at basketball.
Yeah.
How about that? But that's coming up this week in the Sweet 16. Are you going to watch that game, Rob Martyr?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. How you doing, buddy?
I'll tell you what, women's basketball is fantastic. I used to be the PA announcer for Illinois College women's basketball team, and they were really good.
They shocked the world. DePaul shocked the world. They beat Louisville. They got Oregon State, and then they have Baylor left in the region. So it's going to be a tough weekend. But, hey, things are looking up for DePaul, right?
I think they can do it.
We're back here broadcasting live from Pequod's Pizza in Chicago. How you doing, everybody? Home of the world-famous caramelized crust. It's a download. I'm Justin Kaufman on WGN with you till 11 o'clock tonight. Much, much more to come on the show. The Lady Blue Demons of DePaul are getting ready for a Sweet 16 showdown with Oregon State in the Women's 2016 NCAA Tournament. There we go. This made possible by upsetting the 3-seed Louisville last weekend to advance. The Lady Blue Demons have been a force in women's college basketball for years, bringing some light to college basketball here in the Chicago area. Doug Bruno's the head coach. He's been the head coach on and off since 1976. In the last 14 years, the Lady Blue Demons, always in the tournament. Bruno was an assistant coach for the Olympics women's basketball team, which won gold in 2012. And he is my guest tonight at the Download. Coach Bruno, great to see you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, and congratulations. Tell all the kids congrats for us. So talk about the win over Louisville. You guys were the 6th seed. You went up against Louisville. Did you have a feeling you were going to be able to pull the upset?
At this time of the year, the NCAA tournament's a huge deal. It's a big tournament, a big deal, a big event. But you got to keep the kids from the inside out. You got to get the kids just doing little things. So I think our players are really in a good mental place about focusing on
how do you do
little
that?
Things.
How do you do that as a coach? What's you've been doing this for so long. How do you get the kids to focus on the little things?
I think you start. It's a year-long process. It doesn't happen in a week. Or just little things is what wins games in November, December. It's what's going to win games in March.
Let me ask you, the tournament, does it help that you guys have consistently been in the tournament? For the kids that are seniors, juniors now, they've been there 2-3 years in a row. Does that help a team, so you don't have to tell them where to go?
We have great senior leadership. And Shanice Jenkins from Whitney Young, Megan Pedkowa is from Trinity High School. And these two seniors are playing in their fourth consecutive NCAA tournament. And they've been to a Sweet 16 before. So they have a little bit of an idea of just what it takes to deal with one in a row, one time, two times, two. It's a one in a row tournament, not from the fans' point of view,
right,
not from the media's point of view, but from the coaches and players' point of view.
I think of women's college basketball, and it's almost driven a lot by SportsCenter, because SportsCenter will show Connecticut. Maybe they'll show in a regular season a Baylor. Maybe they'll show Notre Dame gets in there once in a while. But it seems like they pick their favorites, and those are the number one seeds, and that is almost the face of women's college basketball. But DePaul, like you said, 14 years DePaul has been in the tournament. Do you feel like you are a stalwart, a veteran of the tournament, or do you feel like you're not getting your due?
No, there's only 6 teams in the country that have gone to 14 straight.
Wow.
And you've mentioned a couple of them, and we're one of 6 schools. So I just think celebrity about sports is all earned, and, the better we do, the more you're going to get celebrated. And I think UConn's done a great job of carrying the torch for women's hoops.
Mm-hmm.
The UConn-Notre Dame rivalry that took place the last couple of years has been great for women's basketball. So, no, it doesn't. And any coverage we can get for women's basketball is just very, very vital.
Well, I want to ask about women's basketball, because the professional league's going to kick back up here. The Chicago Sky are getting ready to get back into it. But let's talk about recruiting, because when you are going up against schools like Notre Dame or schools like Connecticut that have these – I mean, they're really just inane records. I mean, it's like Connecticut is just undefeated or one loss.
We try to play to our strengths, and we're sitting here at Pequod's in Lincoln Park. And all the kids from the Midwest that go to all the great Big Ten schools, they go to Notre Dame, they go to all these schools. After 6 football games, guess where they're hanging out? They're hanging out in Lincoln Park.
Right.
All summer long, they're hanging out in Lincoln Park. So, we really just play to our strengths, and as great as all those schools are, they still aren't located in Sweet Home Chicago.
Let me ask you about that, the idea of women's sports are in high school, in the area. I mean, let's talk about Chicago Public Schools or the suburban schools. I mean, is there a wealth of talent that's coming out of the Chicago area when it comes to basketball, women's basketball here in Chicago?
Absolutely. There's great women's talent here in the city of Chicago year in and year out. And we work very, very hard to keep it home. And 50% to 60% of our squad is from Chicago. Our 2 seniors are both from Chicago.
Okay.
But then the young people here in Chicago feel like they've got to export, that we're going to import. So we've got some players from New Jersey, some players from Detroit, some players from Minnesota.
Well, you see on the men's side, trouble keeping Chicago kids here, because you'll see if it's a kid from Whitney Young, Okafor, he's going to go to Duke. You know, there are kids that go to Kentucky. I mean, some of the kids that are making the highlight reels right now in the tournament are from Chicago. But the Chicago schools can't keep them here. What makes, on the women's side, you special?
Well, I just think it's – I believe recruiting is just about being honest and telling the truth. And we don't sell with bells and whistles. We sell the reality. And like I just said, Sweet Home Chicago is a special place. There's a lot of people that would love to be living in Lincoln Park. They can't afford to be living in Lincoln Park. And our athletes have the opportunity to live and play and go to school right here in a great institution, a great university. DePaul's has become a great academic institution, get a great degree. And again, this Lincoln Park factor, this is one of the best cities in the world. And you know, it's just a beautiful place to go to school. They got to get their heads around it when they're 16, 17. Usually 19, 20, 21-year-olds figure out Lincoln Park. 16, 17-year-olds, that really becomes more of the difficulty than anything else.
Talking with Coach Doug Bruno, the Lady Blue Demons, heading to the Sweet 16. Nice. I'm telling you, man, I love that. All right, so you know, I have to ask, I mean, do you see, we talked about the focus of the kids going into a Sweet 16. This is what, the third or fourth one of this crew. I mean, you went to the second round last year, Sweet 16 the year before. So there is a little bit of understanding. Take us through what it's like when you go to a tournament like this, a game for you and for the kids. I mean, I've been to one of the NCAA tournaments on the men's side where it just seems like a rotation, like a revolving door of fans, and I mean, it's such a circus that's happening at the actual arena.
And Justin, it's one of the three biggest sporting events in America with the Super Bowl. And not take NASCAR out of this with the Super Bowl and the World Series, and yet to get people, the event is for the fans and the event is for the media. As a coach and players, you just got to stay focused playing basketball. You can't let yourself get lost in the sauce, as my Shanice Jenkins likes to say. You have to stay focused on just doing all the little things you've been doing every game all year long, and that's what you do. And the better you can keep your kids on that focus, these memories will be with these players forever. They'll never lose these memories. So what they just have to do is just focus on the little things that's going to give us a chance to beat a very, very talented Oregon State team.
That was my next question.
Saturday.
Preview or scout Oregon State for us. I don't think everybody in Chicago knows anything about this team. They're the number two seed in your region.
Well, most people that cover the tournament follow the tournament know that there's four number one seeds and then four number two seeds. Oregon State's the number one, number two seed. So which makes them the fifth highest rated team in the tournament. What makes them strong is they've got a very strong inside player in Ruth Hamblin, 6'6".
Wow.
She's an All-American candidate. But they also have the Pac-12 Player of the Year in Jamie Wisner. And their guard play is very, very strong. It's 5'11 to 6'2". It's strong. It's tall. And they can really shoot the basketball. So, you know, we're going to have our hands full.
What is? I mean, does that pose a problem for you? What's the size like for your team? I mean, can you go, you know, like bang bodies underneath?
Well, you know, I like to look at it the other way. They're going to have to come out and chase us around. So play to our strengths, and I'm not going to focus on trying to bang bodies with bodies that aren't there. We're going to try to make them come out and chase us around.
Is that what basketball is about? I mean, as from a coaching standpoint, it's about you play a certain way, they play a certain way, and the way is to impose your way, that the game goes your way.
I think that's pretty accurate, Justin. I mean, in its simplest form, it's about my job as a coach is to get my players more better shots than the coach from Oregon State getting his players more. And that combines both defense, offense, and rebounding. Those better shots come from defense, they come from offense, they come from rebounding. So you have to, just like football, as offense, defense, special teams, I think basketball has defense, offense, and rebounding. And I think there's those three facets you have to be good at.
Coach Doug Bruno, the Lady Blue Demons, going to the Sweet 16 this weekend, taking on Oregon State. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, more with Doug Bruno. We'll talk about your career here in Chicago. Gold medal winner. That's great. Coach Bruno from the Lady Blue Demons, give it up. We're live at Pequod's Pizza. Stay with us. It's a download here, broadcasting live for Pequod's Pizza in Chicago, home of the world-famous caramelized crust. We're with you till 11 o'clock here, 2207 North Clybourne. Come on down. My guest right now, Coach Doug Bruno, the Lady Blue Demons, battling Oregon State in the Sweet 16 this weekend in Dallas, right? You heard me complaining. I don't like that Baylor is in that bracket. So if you get past Oregon State and Baylor gets there, Baylor's going to be playing essentially close to a home crowd.
That's in women's basketball. We play on home courts for the first two rounds. So that Louisville win was at Louisville.
And that's all right.
That was a big win for us. So, you know, we're still in a stage of development, of growing the game by trying to get fans. We need fans. We need TV coverage. ESPN covers us. But at the same time, we need fans in the stands, and that's why these regions are chosen.
You know, I mentioned at the beginning you've been coaching at DePaul on and off. You took a couple of years off there since 1976. Talk about the difference between the fanfare in 1976 for the Lady Blue Demons and what it is now.
Well, Title IX is a federal law that was enacted in 1972. And Title IX basically provides equal opportunity, educational opportunities for women. And this includes the opportunity for a young woman to be educated through sport is a civil right. It's not... You can't learn in math and history and English class the same lessons of life that you can learn.
Not to mention the scholarships.
As a member.
Right.
Well, as a member of a basketball team when you're
right.
younger.
Right.
As a grammar school and high school player. So I think Title IX is what brought to the fore this opportunity and explosion of participation in women's sports. Justin, we're still fighting a very large, hard, uphill battle. That's why I appreciate you having us on tonight. Only 2% of all media coverage in the country
really?
Is about women.
That's
two.
That's,
I didn't say 22.
I know.
I said two.
I find that
so,
hard because I feel like in the last 5 years.
Look it up.
You know, Connecticut and the and women's, even the WNBA, we've heard more. It feels like it's getting more traction.
There's no question that there's getting more traction, but still 2%. I mean, I'm old enough to have been here. People, you talk to sports editors, you talk to publishers of the local written media, and they'll say, well, there's not enough interest and that we don't have enough manpower. But Chicago Bulls were a very, very bad basketball team back in the day,
right.
long before Michael.
Right.
And the place was empty, and they still had four beat writers. So
right.
this is just a fight, an uphill battle. I never thought that I would be fighting for gender equity. People in America don't really get racial equity. They're getting closer to understanding racial equity in America, but they have no clue about gender equity. And,
right.
and you know, it's just it's just one of those things that we're fighting the uphill battle. And so we really appreciate you having us on tonight. I mean, that's a big deal.
But I mean, to have you're a gold medal winner. The Lady Blue Demons are a staple in Chicago. I mean, everybody knows that squad. I mean, you've had 14 straight trips to the NCAA tournament. I mean, it is a story. And what I guess for me, I feel like this might be the right time because we've seen on the men's side in college basketball, all the universities down. I mean, Illinois is not represented. I mean, there's no one went to the tournament. I mean, NIT barely had, Northwestern did a couple. But, I mean, you're just seeing a time when there's a void in college basketball, and you would think the Lady Blue Demons going to the Sweet 16 could fill that void.
You would think. Yeah, we're working hard. Again, it goes back to my players, and I love this team. You know, we haven't talked yet about Jessica January. Shanice Jenkins and Megan Pedkoa are the seniors, but Jessica January is a very, very special junior, one of the most competitive players I've ever coached, as are Shanice and Megan. These are just special players. Jackie Grant is from Park Ridge in Illinois, so she's from Maine South. And then we also have Brooke Schulte from Germantown, Illinois. So this is a great group of young women that we're coaching. And, you know, the people here in Lincoln Park have been good about coming out and supporting us.
Let me ask you about just the opportunity, because with the WNBA, there's more opportunity for women who are playing basketball in college to move on and continue to work professionally. There was always an opportunity overseas, that kind of thing. But to have this, the WNBA, does it change the way your players look at basketball?
Yes. The WNBA has been great, and you know, I really appreciate all the women that have fought and battled in the WNBA. David Stern deserves a large amount of credit because of his global vision for basketball. That's international basketball. That's basketball of both genders. So the WNBA is really a special league, and the Chicago Sky here, Michael Alter, has done a great job. This isn't NBA money, Michael's. This is Michael Alter's money and his investors' money, and they put their blood, guts, and into women's basketball. So, you know, it's really fun to watch the Sky get to the finals a couple of years ago.
Well, the Sky is, you know, they're going to start back up here soon, and they've done a lot when it comes to outreach, trying to get butts in seats to get people interested. And there really is it seems like a groundswell movement of young girls, and even, you know, I've gone to a couple Sky games. The idea of, like, just interest in basketball. I mean, it helps to have Della Donne, who, you know, is one of the best players, better than some of the numbers that she's putting up is astronomical. But, I mean, talk about that, the idea that it may still have a long way to go, but they're finding inroads. They're finding a fan base.
Women's basketball is a great game, and you just have to understand basketball to understand women's basketball. And it's really about the fundamentals of the game. Great men's teams that are well-coached execute the same fundamentals that women's basketball players have to execute every trip, or we're not going to be any good. So it is just really a great game to watch. And every time I get a jaded male fan out to watch a game, they come back and they bring more jaded male fans. So it's one of those situations that these players are really special. Della Donne is a part of our, Elena is a part of our Olympic program. And whereas I can't announce who's on the team because I don't even know yet,
right.
But
I was gonna say,
she's got a great,
Olympics,
she's got
right?
a great, she's got a great chance to make this team.
Yeah, I would hope
and
if she wanted to play, right?
Local players like Tamika Catchings,
yeah, right.
And Candace Parker, they both grew up in the Chicagoland area.
Those are two of the biggest. The three names you just. I mean, Elena's not from this area, but she plays here. But Catchings and Parker, both from this area. I mean, Chicago seems to be a place that is growing.
You know, it's a long, evolving process, Justin, and again, you just have to keep battling the battle and fight the good fight every single day.
Okay, here's a. I've always had this question for coaches. I mean, you know, you're going to beat Oregon State, you beat Baylor, you're going to beat Connecticut, you're going to be the champs, right? Let's say that may not happen. Let's say that on Saturday, that's the final game. What's it like for you to be the coach of a team when a team loses in the tournament? And that's it for the seniors. That's, you know, you went through 4 years with a player. What's that like for you?
Well, I define it this way. And every team that makes the NCAA tournament, 64 on the women's side, 68, I think, on the men's side, one of them's going to win. And no matter when you get beat, first round, second round, championship game, it's crash and burn. You know, it's not like it's a slow, easy death of a season. It's a crash and burn.
I don't want to be no personal pizza. I just want to live my life. I don't want to eat no personal pizza.
Welcome back to The Download, broadcasting live from Pequod's Pizza here in Chicago, world of home of the world famous caramelized crust. I'm Justin Kaufman. We are with you till 11 o'clock here at this great pizza place. Well, some news tonight. The CTU authorizes strike, right? I mean, that's the...
It's a one-day of action. Strike. Day of action.
Mike Fouché is here. He's the man behind AlderTrack.com, the subscription news service that covers all things Chicago. He's with us every week. Mike, good to see you.
It's great to be here.
Thanks for being here at Pequod's. We appreciate it.
Geez, I mean, thanks for being here. This is like a treat for me. I get some great pizza. It's awesome.
All right, so let's talk about this because... this is a huge step. I mean, they got the authorization. They're going to walk out on April 1st.
Right. But, you know, the authorization, it wasn't as slam dunk as it has been in the past. They had the House of – so last night they had this giant teleconference, you know, with 30,000 people on the phone all at once and where they explain what it is that they want to do. And then tonight they had the House of Delegates, which is about 670 people.
Yeah.
That actually got together and voted, and it passed 78%. But, you know, my understanding is that it wasn't easy. I mean, there were a lot of people that were not too crazy about this, and there's a bunch of teachers that were really not crazy about having a strike.
What's the opposition on it? They just don't want to do that? Because
it's not clear exactly what they're striking about. You know, are they striking because of pay? Are they... well, you know, the schools backed down on taking away some of their pension payments. What are they really striking about? It's not entirely clear. And, you know, there's some teachers I've spoken to, they're not confident that the schools are necessarily going to do anything any different. They made a pretty strong proposal for a pay package in January. You know, I'm not sure that there's the same fire that there's been in the past.
Well, that's a great way to put it, because the package, it came out of the media, at least. The media's like, hey, they're strongly considering this, and
yep.
they took it and it got rejected.
It was a big surprise
right.
that it was rejected.
So where are we when you, that's such a great point. Like, are they striking for pay? Are they striking for equality? Are they striking for, you know, to get back at
better
the,
work
the
environment,
and
better
the,
schools?
Yeah.
It's really not clear. And the thing is that really CPS, the schools are really down right now. I mean, they're almost out of cash. And they could potentially be bankrupt by the end of the school year. I mean, they are functionally bankrupt right now, but they could be literally no money in the bank by the end of the year. What are you arguing?
What are you arguing? Because when I just talk casually with other parents, with people here at Pequod's, we mentioned it before, people come up to the table. The question that always comes up is, I don't know if they've got the public support, meaning this time around it's different than maybe the last time we're like, well, they're striking. They must be striking because they need money. This is, you know, Rahm Emanuel,
right.
we understand.
Right.
This time around, did they run the risk of alienating the parents that are involved in Chicago public schools?
I think that there is definitely a risk of that. I mean, parents do tend to support teachers broadly,
yeah.
which is something that they can count on. But I think there's a lot of confusion. There's not a very good message that the teachers union has about what it is that they're striking for. And I think that there's actually a lot of fear that the school system will collapse in the next year because they don't have enough money.
And we hear it over and over and over. We've been talking about it for weeks, about CPS's cash trap. There's a fight with Springfield for more money.
Yeah.
So this almost, in a weird way, almost takes advantage of that, or feels like it's, you know, it's...
It's one more log on the fire is what it is.
Exactly.
It's one more bad thing.
Yeah,
it's one more bad thing. And the struggle that the leadership at CPS has, Forrest Claypool, who's the CEO, is that they can't raise taxes by law, and they can't really cut a whole lot more. So, and the state isn't going to give them any money because Governor Rauner said, no way until you eliminate collective bargaining. Which means eliminating the Chicago Teachers Union. And Governor Rauner has a particular enmity for the Chicago Teachers Union. He really despises them. So it's a sort of weird thing, you know. What are you angry about? And it's not really a clear message.
Now, on the other side, I would to sort of, you know, make the case for the Chicago Teachers Union. You know what? 30, 37, 38, 40 kids in a classroom, underfunding.
No,
you're seeing different
there's
schools. Principals have got their hands tied. There's no funding and research or resources coming in. And then Forrest Claypool and Mayor Emanuel want to roll back some of the things that were agreed upon in the last contract. So there actually is, I think, a cause for concern if you're the Chicago Teachers Union.
There is no question whatsoever that teachers have a bad work environment. The schools aren't in great shape physically. There's too many kids crammed into the classrooms. They're not getting the support that they need from special ed support services and social workers in the schools. The teachers are overloaded. They're reaching into their own pockets in order to get supplies. It's a bad scene. Every teacher in the city of Chicago is definitely not living big. It's a hard time. But Who are they expecting to come over the horizon in order to save things? It's not clear.
Is that why this is a one-day thing?
I think so. And the other is that, you know, people I've spoken to say, you know, really the teachers aren't going to have a big long strike at the end of the school year. Because if you go on strike at the end of the school year, there's a lot of high school students in particular that depend
this.
On the end of the school year for being able to prove their athletic prowess,
for
scholarships,
for colleges.
Right, finalizing their grades in order to get scholarships for colleges. You could really ruin a lot of high school senior and juniors' academic careers for their lives.
And it seems like that's something the Chicago Teachers Union would take into account because they seem to be student first.
Well, yeah, and nobody wants to... No teacher wants to have that responsibility on their shoulders.
Talking with Mike Fouché here live at Pequod's Pizza on 2207 North Clybourne. There's a couple seats here. Come on down, get a pie. Mike from Alder Track. Let's take a break. When we come back, we got to talk about the police chief.
Yep.
The top cop. Rom says he's going to take his time.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And I'm really interested in what's happening in the fourth. This
the slow
fourth,
stirring it. Yeah, the fourth right. word.
Fourth word, too. Yeah. Like I feel
what's
like
up with that.
Will Burns stepped down.
Yeah.
And Rahm Emanuel's playing it very close to the vest, which is very weird. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, yeah,
Mike
yeah.
Boucher live here at Pequod's Pizza. Stay with us. Broadcasting live from Pequod's Pizza, 2207 North Clybourne. Everybody eating their pizza. I love it. It's a download here on WGN with you till 11 o'clock. We're talking a little city politics with Mike Foucher from AlderTrack.com. We just talked about the CTU situation, the authorization for a one-day walkout. Now we got to talk about the top cop. Because we've got three finalists for the top cop. We're already seeing stories that one of them is overconfident. That was a very weird story.
Well, I mean, it's gonna be, they haven't even gotten in the job yet, and they're already beating them down.
Yeah, I just feel like that's anyone who wants this job is like, I think I'll withdraw my name at this point.
Right.
What's happening with that, and what's the mayor saying about that?
Last week, the Chicago Police Board came out with three candidates, right? Cedric Alexander, Ann Kirkpatrick, and Eugene Williams. So Cedric Alexander is from DeKalb, Georgia, or DeKalb is pronounced DeKalb.
Okay.
And he's got, you know, a pretty broad experience. He was in TSA for a while. He's done a lot of different things. Ann Kirkpatrick, she's been police chief in Seattle, done a lot of different things in that area. And then Eugene Williams is the hometown guy.
Mm-hmm.
So Cedric Alexander and Eugene Williams, they're both African-American. And Ann Kirkpatrick is white. But there's no Latino candidate. And so the Latino aldermen are very upset about that. They've been very upset because Escalante.
Yeah, John Escalante is the interim, and he's high ranking,
right.
Taking over for McCarthy.
Right.
And he doesn't even get a nod.
Right. But I think that there's a general consensus that, at least among people who are in city council and people that pay attention a lot to the police department, that whoever the nominee, whoever it is that Mayor Emanuel needs to pick, is probably going to have to be African American. Because there is so much distrust in the African-American community with the Chicago Police Department that they feel that, well, it's got to be somebody who's black and that's going to be able to understand what it is that we go through and our community's concerns. So, you know, there's a lot of rumors about all these people, you know, that the mayor is more interested in Cedric Alexander because he's got TSA experience and he understands how to handle
large crowds. He's an outsider.
He's not
going to come
in.
He's not going to protect the police department, the rank and file.
Right. He's not going to, you know, be part of the wall of silence,
you
know, that goes on with that stuff. And then there's a lot of talk, well, maybe we got to get somebody that's from inside because we've been going outside the last three people.
And there's something to be said about that. I mean, Chicago is its own set, and it's defied crime stats. It's defied sort of criminal justice.
Yeah.
So at a certain point, you're like, don't you want somebody who knows Chicago?
People that I've talked to in the police department are very frustrated that the last few superintendents have been from outside of Chicago. But, you know, one thing, actually, that is all these three are alike is that they're all what police officers would say, they're all police. They're all people who are police officers who understand the police procedures and what it means to be a police officer, which wasn't the case with Elliot Weiss, or not Elliot Weiss.
Jody Weiss.
Jody Weiss. Jody Weiss came from FBI, and he was never actually a man on the beat. And that was actually a consistent problem. McCarthy, even though he was a police officer, he really did not connect at all with the guy on the beat. So, you know, hopefully one of these three candidates, if they are chosen, would get the job. I mean, there's actually even talk that Mayor Emanuel just throw them all out. He said that he's going to take his time looking at them. He spent last weekend interviewing them personally. It's possible that he could throw all the candidates out and ask to come up with another batch.
Does Emanuel, in your estimation, does he feel the heat that this has to be a quick decision, that we need to get this over with, we need to get to this, or is he sort of going calm, I'll get there when I get there?
He has said that I'm going to take my time, and I'm going to make sure that I get the right choice. But clearly, this is going to be the choice that is going to most affect the future of his administration. You know, he needs to have somebody that's going to be able to do some healing with minority communities in Chicago and begin to put an implant, a stamp of his policies on changing and improving criminal justice in Chicago.
And what's the expectation? Because crime numbers, you know, across the country, even in Chicago, have gone down, especially when it comes to gun violence. They've gone down. But the media's headlines are this many shot, this many killed,
and it makes
Gary McCarthy look bad.
The number of shootings in Chicago this year is up.
Right.
The number of murders this year is up.
Is up, right.
And in certain communities, big thing that's talked about a lot in Lakeview and on the north side is the number of burglaries and property crimes is way, way up.
Yep. Aldermen have talked about that.
And
right?
So that's a big concern. I think that clearly there is something going on in Chicago. And there's also, you know, a couple of years ago, there was a story in Chicago Magazine about the crime statistics.
Fudging the numbers, right?
And whether or not those numbers are actually reliable. So there's a big question about, are the numbers that we're looking at, are they actually real? I think that's something that whoever the new police...
Well, outside of policing, when you get to IPRA,
right.
To the police board.
IPRA is the Police Review Authority.
Right. They announced that they're going to review past closed police shooting cases. That's big.
That's a big, big deal.
Because that was the idea. Yeah. That, like, they would wrap up the case and say, that's not a police shooting. Goodbye.
Yeah. Right.
We'll never
right.
see this again. Put it in the
right.
vault.
So Sharon Farrelly, who was appointed by the mayor.
We talked about her.
You know,
yeah.
Back last year. She is now in charge of IPRA, which is the authority that investigates police shootings. And they're a separate civilian group from the police department. And she has said that one of the reforms that she's taking on is that she's going to take a look at maybe 20 to 40 different closed cases. She can't look at them all, but she's going to attempt an audit of all the various
closed
cases.
Understand how the police union would let that happen.
I don't think right? they have a choice.
They don't have a choice?
They don't have a choice.
Feels like that would be like contract number three.
Yeah.
Once it's closed, it's closed.
I don't think they have a choice. And so the Police Review Authority, they're able to take a look at it. They're able to review, was there maybe some evidence that we skipped over? Was there testimony that wasn't quite as clean as it should have been? There's been a lot of questions about whether or not the past investigators were really as far removed, arm's length from the investigations as they should have been. She's brought in new chief of staff, new supervisors, a new set of investigators.
Wow.
So maybe we'll get some different results.
All right. Last thing we talk about. I didn't recognize this, and I just saw it, that the city pension reform that was done to help with labor contracts, some other things,
right.
Is up in front of the Illinois Supreme Court. They're going to decide tomorrow.
They're going to announce their
whether or not it's constitutional. Well, we
right.
saw this a year ago
right.
with the
right.
I mean, right around this time with the the state of Illinois,
right.
and that just like that
right.
that threw everything into a
right.
frenzy.
Right.
What happens tomorrow?
So this is about. So there's a whole bunch of different pensions for Chicago, but there's one group which is the laborers' pension, and another which is municipal employees. So the laborers, those are the guys you see in streets and sand, you know, the guys that are digging
mm-hmm.
holes and all
mm-hmm.
that stuff. And the municipal employees are basically everybody that's at a desk, you know,
mm-hmm.
pushing paper. Those two pensions, there's a plan that the city put together which changes the payment plan. It's basically like extending your mortgage, okay? So the state is trying to decide whether or not that's allowable.
The court is, yeah.
The court is deciding whether or not that's allowable, because the idea is that this was a contract that was negotiated with the union in the past. The city's just trying to change it without the union's
approval. And that's what they found unconstitutional at the state.
Right.
It's like, you made a handshake deal. That's
right.
the deal. Get out of town.
Right, right.
So what reading the tea leaves, is the Illinois Supreme Court just going to say, take a look at what we did last year, bud.
It's no idea. Because I think this is a very political process, even in the state Supreme Court.
Really?
So if the city loses the ruling,
if it's deemed unconstitutional.
If it's deemed unconstitutional, in the short term, the city actually saves some money. But in the long term, the pension funds will be insolvent probably in the next 15 years. Right. Bad news.
That's like a game show. All right, which
right.
one do we want? Let's go long term.
Behind door number one,
right.
insolvency.
And
yeah.
I mean, that's that. I guess we all thought that it was the Illinois Supreme Court was going to go that way with the state of Illinois pensions that were political, that Madigan was somehow going to be able to make that
right.
work. It didn't. I'm not optimistic that
it's not a good vibe.
Because it's the same. It's the same concept.
It's really not a good vibe.
Oh man.
I mean, it's the hits just keep on coming for the city of Chicago.
So tomorrow could be a doomsday situation for the city. Okay, so last thing, a very specific ward, the fourth ward,
yeah,
Will
right.
Burns, who went out against Chirac. Or
yeah, Will Burns. So Will Burns, who's from the south side, he's from Hyde Park, up to the South Loop. He resigned.
But
so
he's Tony Preckwinkle's old ward.
Yep, that's yeah. right. He resigned in order to go take a job as the head of lobbying for Airbnb. All right. Well, not lobbying. Head of policy. Because you can't lobby for a year.
Do we put the sheets out, or do we lock
right.
that one clause?
Right.
What do you mean, the head
right.
of policy?
Well, you know, whatever. And so he left, and now the mayor gets to appoint an interim person, and then there will be a special election in 2017.
Sure.
So this person holds a job for a year. And the process that the mayor's had has been very, very cloudy. You know, they said, okay, anybody can put it in a application.
Right.
And the mayor's office said, well, 18 people applied. We called up the office and said, well, who are they? He said, we can't tell you. Well, when are you going to tell us? We can't tell you. Well, what sort of things are you thinking about? We can't tell you. Well, when are you going to tell us? Oh, we can tell you that.
We can tell you that we can't tell you.
So we're going to learn sometime in mid-April. But,
okay.
you know, other than that, they
this
won't tell us who they're considering.
This is weird because I feel like with Mayor Daley, when appointees came, it was like a snap kind of – they had their people
happened
ready to
quickly.
Go, and it was like this
right.
was in because
right.
they wanted to establish some
right. –
this
well,
is our candidate. So what's taking so long?
No idea. But, you know, this is actually kind of a big deal. Out of the 50 people that are in city council right now, 11 of them had been appointed by a mayor, either Mayor Daley or Mayor Emanuel at some point. So the mayors actually get – quite a bit of influence over city council just by appointing
people. Just by appointing.
So, I mean, it's sort of like, you know, who's watching the hen house?
Mike Fouché is. Mike Fouché is the man behind AlderTrack.com, a subscription service that covers all things Chicago politics. Mike joins us weekly here on The Download. Thanks for being here,
Brad. Great to be here.
All right, much more to come here on The Download, live at Pequod's Pizza, 2207 North Clybourne. Stay with us.
I'll have some clam chowder followed by beefsteak on rye, pumpkin pie, whipped cream and coffee. I want a green salad.
All right, we're live back here at Pequod's. Pequod's Pizza in Chicago, home of the world-famous caramelized crust. It's The Download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Everybody enjoying their pizza?
Yeah.
Happy birthday again over there. A lot of birthdays here tonight. We saw another one. Yeah, way to go, buddy. All right, so coming up at 10 o'clock, we're going to have Character Flaws. It's our regular Wednesday night segment where we bring you some of the best sketch and improv in the city. This is the city that birthed improvisation. So we will have some people here. We'll talk about that coming up. But first, you know what? We are at Pequod's. We want to talk food. Who better to do that with than the two women behind Chewing, the podcast that you can find at chewing at dot w, what is it?
Chewing.xyz.
XYZ. So you guys are above the trend.
Cutting
dot com's out. Dot biz is out, huh?
Exactly.
That's
which
for
is, yeah, like the Google people. We got XYZ.
Louisa Chu and Monica Eng are the brains behind Chewing. Louisa Chu is a food writer at Chicago Tribune. Monica Eng works for the NPR station here in Chicago covering food and health.
That's
thanks
right.
for being here.
Thanks for
Justin.
So let's talk about what you guys, I mean, obviously we're at Pequod's. Pizza's a big part. Louisa, the first time I ever saw you was when you were talking about Burt's Pizza on Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah, at Burt's Pizza. I mean, at Burt's Place in Morton Grove. And we just can't be at Pequod's and talk about Chicago pizza without giving a shout out to my dear friend, Burt Katz, who actually opened the original Pequod's in Morton Grove back in 1971.
Wow.
And he ran that place until 1986 and then sold that. And then that's why we now have this incredible caramelized crust. And as many fans of Burt's know, he closed up the shop last year, his Burt's Place, which he opened after Pequod's last year, because of some health issues. And just wanted to say that, you know, he's still with us, and we're thinking about him and wishing him well. And after 52 years in the pizza business in Chicago,
Wow. Boy,
he deserves a break.
We had him on, though. We talked to him that one time. You know, it's really interesting because he can be considered the father of the sort of I wouldn't say the stuffed pizza, but more the deep dish pizza, that a very artisanal approach to it.
Really specifically the style here that's at Pequod's, which is specifically a caramelized crust pan pizza. It's different. There's fine nuances, as we know, between Chicago-style deep dish. His is the caramelized crust pan pizza. That's Bert Katz.
Monica, are you a pizza eater?
I'm going to say something blasphemous here. I really like New York-style floppy triangles.
But that did not stop Monica from chowing down on the Pequod's at our table right over there.
Yeah. You sampled two pieces?
Right.
That's going to be with you for a couple days.
Good sample.
All right. Well, I want to talk about the podcast that's out this week. It's out on Friday. It's you're doing a Beyond the Headlines kind of thing. What does that mean?
Well, people read our stories, they listen to our stories, and they say, gee, I wonder what really happened. And so Louisa and I are talking about some stories we've written recently and talking about kind of what happened behind the scenes. Also, our producer, Iris Lynn, she has directed and edited the most popular clickhole video ever.
Really?
It's the one where, like I said, an easy recipe for an egg, and one of the things is you have to stick it in a grandpa's mouth for 2 hours. And she told us, look at that.
Pete's seen it. Yeah.
So everybody's she tells us all it. The secrets of, like, all the grandpa wrangling and mouse wrangling she had to do for it. It's fabulous.
That's great.
Plus how to make a viral video, basically, around food. So she tells a story behind that.
That's good. You need to know that if you're looking to make viral videos around food.
Yes.
There's got to be a formula.
Right. For sure.
Monica, one of the stories, I don't know if it'll make it to the podcast or not, but the one you did last week about GMOs, and it's really interesting about who's researching GMOs, and you did a big piece about it's not all it's cracked up to be. Let's talk about that.
Well, I've been working on it for 6 months, and I was taking a look at some emails from a professor, for a retired U of I professor, and what they were indicating, and they seemed to indicate that he had a pretty cozy relationship with one of the world's largest producers of GMOs, and that in fact he was getting money from them. That
so he was
not
disclosing. Essentially doing research. It was like, GMOs are okay, but then he wasn't disclosing that they were giving money to him for the research.
He was traveling all over the world, and he was writing about it, and he was saying that labeling of GMOs was bad, and yet he did not disclose this funding that was indicated in both financial documents and
so it's
his
really about it's not really about GMOs, it's about the labeling. This has been the controversy for a long time about whether or not you put on the can of beans at the store, this is a genetically modified product.
Right.
And the GMOs say, or the people in that industry say, no way, don't put that on there because we don't want people not buying our stuff.
Right. In more than 62 countries, they already label it. In the United States, the Senate is still fighting over it. There was a vote last week. I talked to Dick Durbin today. He believes that they'll go back to the drawing board and maybe vote again. But it was voted down last week. It was a kind of a convoluted preemptive bill saying that any state that wanted to label and that passed labeling laws, they would quash those laws. And that was voted down.
Okay. But why, is it just that they've concentrated a lobby against labeling here in the United States? Why would the lobby be okay with it being done in 62 other countries but not here?
Well, this is the country that kind of invented the GMO, and some people would argue that the lobby is very strong and influential in influential circles. And so a lot of people do scratch their head and say, why in more than 60 countries do they label and in this country we don't? It's a very contentious issue. Certainly millions, tens of millions have been spent on pro and against campaigns in each state as they consider whether they should label.
Monica, I see you doing a good job of pacing yourself because when you did this story and you put it out, this investigation, social media kind of turned, meaning you had more Twitter trolls and people that came out that were almost felt like maybe they were that's what their job was. I mean, there was a lot of vitriol at you.
Well, there were some researchers and other journalists who told me, watch out, there will be people who come out to attack you. And then they pointed out, oh, yep, that one showed up on Twitter, that one showed up on Twitter. And, when one does investigative stories, one has to be ready to get attacked. And, one would hope that you could say, look at my documents, and I hope that you will be satisfied with that.
I want that job. I want to be the Twitter troll. Hello, my name's Justin. I'm a Twitter troll for hire. If anybody wants to...
Well,
Well, you know, on our podcast, Chewing, I think that I do a good job of sort of helping Monica defend herself, you know, by sort of launching those sorts of little missives over to her because...
Louise is actually behind a few of those Twitter troll accounts.
I wouldn't say behind, but, you know, just toughening you. I mean, basically like a sparring partner,
right,
you know?
Like, right.
Yeah, with the mask on, the whole, like, thing going on, you know? But... you know, so that's definitely one of the stories that we're going to be exploring more in depth later
that's
on.
That's a tough one, man. Yes. I mean, Monsanto and everything involved in that, that's a very difficult and, like you said, contentious issue with both sides pretty passionate. All right, let's take a break. Monica Eng and Louisa Chu are here from Chewing. When we come back, we're going to talk about the sewage in the river.
And
we're
going to
talk
Girl
about
Scout
the
cookies.
Girl Scout cookies. And we're going to talk about the Beard Awards, Dining Awards, the Trib Dining Awards,
yep,
and a mac and cheese event that's coming up soon. It's the gals from Chewing, Chewing at XYZ, here on the download, live at Pequod's Pizza. Stay with us.
Eggs was frying, ham was smelling. In 10 minutes, she started yelling. Come and get it. And
welcome back to Pequod's Pizza, 2207 North Five. Marquette's got it. It's a download here. I'm Justin Kaufman. On WGN Radio 720, my guests, Louisa Chu, Monica Eng. Louisa with the Tribune, Monica Eng with NPR, the Chicago station. They do the podcast Chewing,
chewing.xyz. Chewing.xyz, yeah.
Go,
I don't know why I can't get that.
It's because it's
wanna
so
say
simple.
At. I want to say
know.
Chewing at XYZ, but
no,
it's
that's
dot
okay.
XYZ.
Dot.
Yeah. All right, so we were talking about GMOs a little bit about the podcast. Let's go a little lighter. Let's go with Girl Scout cookies.
Well, you know, it depends on what you call lighter, Justin, because as a former Girl Scout myself, Troop 232 in Chicago represents. We like to play a little game called Will She Eat It on Chewing, where we bring in different foods
right.
and offer it to one another. At least I offer it
right.
to Monica.
You offered
so
me the weird
thousand-year-old egg.
Yeah.
It's a cultural delicacy. In any case...
It's kind of seems spoiled, but it's okay.
Yeah, you
no,
know
it's
what?
Okay.
It looked... Yeah, sure, it was green, but you ate it, and you
I
that was fine.
It.
You're still here. But so also in this episode, Behind the Headlines coming out on Friday, I brought in Monica... The first item she did not eat in our game, Will She Eat It, ever. And she has eaten the thousand-year-old eggs.
What is it?
The grasshopper donut.
What?
This,
the testicles. We've eaten everything.
Yeah. The one thing
Why?
She would not eat?
Well, because of trans fats. And, you know, I did a story for the Chicago Tribune when I was there about how the Girl Scouts are tricking everybody
There's
with
no
the
tricking.
Trans fats
oh.
in the Samoas. And
conspiracy theory to hear that Girl Scouts are tricking us.
No.
Tricking.
No.
It's a zero.
Those cookies are bad for you, and we're
no.
eating them like, no, it's good. It's good for everybody.
It says 0 grams trans fats. Okay, well, then if you look in the fine writing, oh, that's only if you have two. Who eats two Girl Scout cookies? Do you?
No, I ate about 40.
Yeah, exactly.
Per serving.
And yeah, and so as a former Girl Scout myself,
right.
again,
tricks
I
people.
Know, and if you think you're getting trolled now, Monica, watch out for the Girl Scouts and all of the troops. In any case, so I brought in the item, which
yeah.
were the beloved Thin Mints.
Sure.
And offered them to Monica.
And you would eat them?
Because,
back with trans fats.
No, well, because also it was based on a story that I did for the Trib. Because Gordon Ramsay also slammed the Girl Scout cookies. And, you know, I brought them in to offer Monica to give her a little bit of the backstory about saying, you know, hey, maybe it's not for everybody. Maybe, you know, Monica is a, you know, secret expat or something, you know, who also hates America like Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
it's so American to have a heart attack because you've eaten trans fats.
No, it is an occasional treat.
It's such a buzzkill.
Yeah, I know. Right?
That's my middle name. Don't wear it out.
I'm not
yeah.
going to eat this little cookie.
Right.
It's got trans fats.
Exactly. No, and again, it's a game. It's an offer. No one was forcing
anyone.
How much,
Louisa? You should have ate 25 of those, man.
I'd like to live to see my children grow up and go to college.
So,
thank you very much.
You can hear in the coming episode about Monica railing against
right.
them, anti-American,
yeah,
anti-Girl
I was
Scout.
A brownie, okay? I sold at least 5 boxes.
Right. Not the same as a Girl Scout, anyway.
Yeah. I didn't
wow,
have
I got real elitist up in
work.
Here. I didn't know Louisa was just, oh, no, that's the Girl Scout's not brownie.
Yeah,
so.
You know, different, whole different thing.
All right, so let's talk about the Dining Awards. The Dining Awards are coming up here for the Chicago Tribune.
Chicago Tribune, the first Reader's Choice Dining Awards.
Reader's Choice.
Yeah.
Ooh.
We are actually going to be out and about in Chicago on Friday. The Food and Dining team are going to be out awarding the Reader's Choice Awards. I saw the actual award itself in Tribune Tower this morning. We're going to be running around town awards, handing them out on Friday, so that's going to be a big deal.
So you're going to go into the they know you're coming?
No,
so it's
no going to
be like
knows.
Lunchtime, and you're going to be like, you won a Donnie Award. They're like, get to the back of the line.
Right, right.
Get out of here,
man.
Tribune.
Oh, man. Here's a nice plaque. Yeah,
let me ask about the James Beard Awards. The finalists, I guess, are out. Chicago, again, well represented. The big chefs, it's interesting because you've got it seems like the same type, you know, who do you like out of the Great Lakes region for Boy. Best chef?
Well, so here's one of the – so Lee Wolin is right. the chef at Boca, one of my old pals back from back in the day. But he is doing some amazing stuff. And this is actually a point of controversy, too. A lot of people think that, boy, Chicago dominates the Great Lakes region so much that we really need a whole separate Chicago category, yeah. too. But someone amongst us is an actual James Beard judge.
What?
Yes.
Are you, Monica, you are?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say this.
Oh, really?
I don't know,
whoops.
But
put you in charge?
I think you need to disclose.
Well, and I think someone among us is a multiple James Beard Award winner.
I'm a two-time James Beard Award winner. So I've got down the stairs there.
Oh, dear.
The best service just for the James
Beard. They're throwing your awards
down. Is this one of those psychological tests? But
you're right, because last year, and we're going to be talking with Chef Zimmerman coming up here on the download. We're going to be talking with Lee, Chef Wolin, Chef. There's a lot of great chefs. And last year you had five great chefs, and they gave it to the dude from Cleveland.
What's up
and
with that?
And I was like, I got it. Maybe the dude from Cleveland's great. And when you talk to the other chefs, they're like, oh, well, that chef, blah, blah, he's great. He's the greatest Cleveland chef in the history of Cleveland. And I'm like, it's in Chicago. It's time for it to be a Chicago person. I'm all for the Cleveland guy. I'm sure he makes great mussels. But it should have been someone from Chicago.
Pierogies. I have a great
now that I know you work for the Beards. Come on.
I have a great anecdote. I was covering the James Beard Awards at the Civic Opera House last year, and I'm like, okay, well, I got to get down there. I got to interview the Chicago chef who won, and it's the Cleveland guy. So I'm like, okay, yeah. He's kind of chubby. He's got a vest on. He's got an award on. He's got a beard. On his face. And so I go up to him.
And lots of tattoos.
So I said, so how about it for Cleveland? And the guy talks to me for a while, and I'm like, oh, wow. He's from Boston. He's a guy who looks just like him from Boston. And then I go up to the other guy I thought won. I was like, so tell me, Cleveland won it. And blah, blah, blah. It's a guy from San Francisco. All of these guys looked exactly alike. And I'm like, I'm not even going to find the guy from Cleveland because I'm just going to find someone who looks exactly
That's
like him
funny.
And embarrass
Monica,
myself again.
You are stereotyping chefs. But just a quick shout out to the Best Chef Great Lakes nominees from Chicago. Fat Rice's Abe Conlin.
Awesome.
Race's Curtis Duffy. Boca's yep. Lee Wolin, we mentioned. Nico Osteria's Erling Wubauer.
Right.
And, of course, Sepia's Andrew Zimmerman. So
That's a crew. That's a yeah. crew. So this year it's going to be Chicago. Obviously, it's all Chicago.
It's got to be, right?
You would think. One would think. And one
There's
of the
no write-in possibility?
I don't know how those yeah. things work.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's been a change. It's a chef from Chattanooga. No!
What is this? A special, you know, sort of like the other elections that are going on? Yeah, I'm not really
and
sure
we should
about
remind
that.
People the Beards are being held in Chicago.
They're in Chicago. It's the biggest. The Academy Award for the food, for the culinary industry. It's here in mm-hmm. Chicago. That's one thing that the mayor has brought to Chicago, like the NFL draft. So it's a big deal. The chefs will throw parties. There's a lot of parties that you're going to have to get me into.
Oh, yeah.
So I appreciate it. I'm a two-time James Beard winner.
I know. Can you just wear both?
I may be
flash
the
that thing
least,
around.
Least known James Beard. I've got two of them, too.
You do. We've seen them. Yeah. You can't just wear both medals around and just...
I should.
Yeah, completely.
They're currently in, like, frame.
Oh, dear.
Break them out for the night.
You should
get into
carry
every
both
party.
Framed around,
That'd be
actually.
Great. I should do that. I should just break them out and put them on like I want and try to see if I can get in places.
Yeah. You got Maybe. A beard. You will totally
I just need a vest?
Yeah, a vest, some tattoos. You'll get into every party.
All right, so before we wrap up here, the James Beard, we'll talk more about the James Beard when we get closer to it because it's in May, right, beginning of May?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The mac and cheese event that's coming up. What do we
so
got?
So we are coming up at the Tribune the end of mac and cheese month, and we have been covering a different mac and cheese every single day of the month. We have got actually a big mac and cheese event that's open to the public April 11th, and you get all the details at chicagotribune.com/mactix.
So it's just like, it's kind of like what they do with Bacon Fest or Wing Fest is now Mac and Cheese Fest?
Kind of. We're going to have two chefs who are going to be doing a mac and cheese throwdown, and there's going to be beer, wine, cider from the lovely Virtue Cider, and lots of mac and cheese to eat. Plus, it's going to be basically like being a market challenge of mac and cheese.
Will Monica eat mac and cheese? Do you eat mac and cheese?
I'll have to check out the trans fat content on that.
We'll be the fun ones there.
Louisa Chu, Monica Eng, the new podcast Chewing is out this Friday, right? This
yes.
Friday?
Okay.
Chewing.xyz.
Yes.
Louisa writes for the Chicago Tribune, Monica for Chicago's NPR station.
That's right.
Thanks so much for being here, you guys.
Thank you.
We'll talk soon.
Thanks, okay. Justin.
All right, we are still got an hour here for the download live at Pequod's here at 2207 North Clybourne. Come on down, get a late pizza. Stay with us. Broadcasting live from Pequod's Pizza in Chicago, home of the world-famous caramelized crust. Pequod's here at 2207 North Clybourne. It's a download to 11 o'clock here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Thanks for being here. Well, it's Wednesday night, so it means it's time for another installment of Character Flaws. Chicago has such great performers. There's writers, comedians. It's ridiculous. And it's available to us. So many people want an outlet, and we have it. So it's great for the performers, and it's great for the audience. So we'll bring you sketch comedy characters and, of course, improv. So sit back and enjoy. I'll host it and participate, of course. Tonight we bring you comedy from Second City actor and writer T.J. Shanoff, the movie guys Adam Witt and Second City and Download regular Sandy Marshall. So let's do it. It's Character Flaws, an hour of fun and games in the theater of your mind. On the download on WGN Radio.
It's just a character flaw. I got a character flaw. You never please a mom. It's just a character flaw.
All right, let's get to it. Oh, a lot of big controversial stories in sports right now. You know, and every time I think of sports, I think we need a good guest who really gets it. Luckily, we have the guest lined up right now. You can see him on Sports TV's Let Me Finish and on Sports Command's I'm the Man. It's Chip Lakeless. There's his theme song. Chip Lakeless, good to see you. Thanks for being here live at Pequod's.
Jeffrey, it is great to be here on FM 72, Joliet's home for classic rock. How's everyone doing tonight?
All right, well, it's...
We got Marshall Tucker Band coming up. Stick around. We're going to talk a little sports as well. Sports and classic rock on FM 72.
It's WGN 720. But all right. Yeah,
You got it.
You got it. It's always great to have a guy who's a TV guy on with us. I mean, you do such great commentary. You're just so rapid fire with your wit.
I appreciate that. This is one of the few TV gigs I've done where there's been a makeup person, so I know there's cutbacks at FM 72, but we'll see what we can do for next time.
Well, you know, it's radio at the end of the day.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Let's get right into it. Let's start with the Chicago Bulls. Losing tonight against the New York Knicks at home. This was the one they needed to get. I got to ask Chip, you know, the Chicago Bulls, letdown?
Well, here's the thing. Tough, tough Knicks team they went up against tonight. This is a team that's got Carmelo Anthony playing at arguably an MVP level. They got Patrick Ewing coming off the bench, and you know that's always a good thing. He's old, but he's still 7 feet tall, and you can't coach height. So as far as I'm concerned, the Chicago Bulls, yes, I think they probably had a letdown tonight, but as far as I'm concerned, this team is probably going to battle with Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals, and then they will take the Memphis Grizzlies in four games.
Yeah. Okay, so you're saying the Bulls are going to beat the Grizzlies?
Whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, guy, let me finish. You radio people, you think you know everything. Why would I think the Bulls are going to finish anything? This is a team that will barely qualify for the playoffs.
Okay.
They're relying on a guy named Nikolai Mirotic to provide points for them. They're a terrible team. If you didn't play otherwise, proves you don't know what you're talking about when it comes to basketball.
Right,
this Bulls team is great and simultaneously probably going to be in the draft lottery.
Okay. Thanks, Chip.
Can I finish? It's great being on FM 72.
All right, great. The NCAA tournament, the Sweet 16 coming on. You got a favorite coming out of the tournament?
Yeah,
you watch the games?
You know, I watch the games. I think I like the pros better because the game's more pure. I feel like a lot of these college players are getting hyped. They're getting paid. They got their faces in video games. The college game doesn't mean anything to me. You want to see the true testament of an athlete, you pay him.
So you're saying that college college basketball players should be paid?
Whoa. Let me finish. This is typical of the liberal media, and I'm trying very, very hard to get my... Can I get a word in? I'll wait. Radio, TV, or not, I'll wait. We're going to wait. You know, we're going to take commercial right back on FM 72.
Okay, well, no.
Do I not have that power?
Okay. You don't have that power.
No, right. I think, well, first of all, let me finish. I actually think that the NCAAs are far more exciting than college basketball, and anybody who implies otherwise has probably never played or watched any sports. Me, I was a point guard for most of my life until the accident.
Can I ask about the accident?
We'll be right back on FM 72.
Let's keep going. The NFL, some rule changes. Now, if you've been paying attention, the touchback will now get you to the 25-yard line. This is a new thing for the game. What do you think?
Well, I think they finally found a way to stop CTE. You will see safe football being played. The option to switch to a nerf in the second half I think is not a bad idea. I think that finally with the change in rule, and especially the touchback rule, means no player will ever have a brain injury ever again. And you can say Chip Lakeless told you, weeknights at 10.
So you're saying there's going to be no more brain injuries in football? These
people are all going to die in their 40s. I did not say anything of the sort. As far as I'm concerned, if you're an NFL player, you ought to get your will in shape because you're probably not going to live for another 10 years. See, Boomer Esiason, the Super Bowl coverage, he didn't know his own name. Chip Lakeless, weeknights.
All right. Okay, let's shift gears to baseball.
Whoa, let me finish. My show, right? Go on, continue.
Adam LaRoche, you paying attention to the Adam LaRoche scandal?
I sure am. And let me let you ask your question because I'm on. Let me finish on television. This is your show. You ask the questions, Keith.
Okay, it's Justin. Adam LaRoche, I mean, do you think it's okay for a player to bring his son to the game every single day?
First of all, I believe that kids should be in locker rooms all over the place. Kids need to know at a very young age what a man is all about. And the joy of having Adam LaRoche in the locker room is he gets full experience to see what it's like for a man to get out of the shower. And I was raised in an interesting household. It was just me and 15 other boys, no parents. So this is where I come from. And the Adam LaRoche situation is being way blown out of proportion by both the liberal and conservative media, both of whom I have no patience for. I hate the people who sign my damn paychecks. So if you're going to let me finish?
I'm going to let you finish.
It's amazing how radio guys don't even know. You know, folks, let me finish because I'm right in the middle of a good rant here. What baseball cap are you wearing right now?
What is that?
This is radio.
Roger Federer.
Roger Federer. Well, that's fantastic. Roger Federer, my favorite MLB team. So go Federers. What were we just talking about, Keith?
Talking about kids in the locker room.
That's nothing I love more. Not in a creepy way. Here's the thing about having Adam LaRoche's son Drake in the locker room. We all are familiar with the great rapper Drake. Some of us have been to Drake University. How about it? Little Iowa love in the room. That's right. You're listening to WHO Radio right here. No, actually, that's a real one. I probably shouldn't make that joke. Adam LaRoche, let his son play. And I think that if your son is not allowed in the locker room, you should retire and be paid in full, period. I've finished.
Okay, so you say that he should have walked away from the game. He was right to be upset with his kid.
Whoa, let me finish here, guy. For your information, a young boy in a locker room all summer long is kind of creepy. And I think that for him to make a stink out of it, and for Chris Sale, who, by the way, is the most overrated pitcher in all of baseball right now, but without quite the White Sox aren't on this network, are they? No, they're not. So I can go ahead and say that. I think that if you actually look at the situation the way it's supposed to be, you go, see, here's the thing. Can I finish? Am I going to have a chance to talk? I'm going to talk for a second here.
Okay,
a stats guy. I don't believe stats mean anything. You're one of these saber rattlers, they call them, always trying to do these metrics and, hey, look, math. I like sports because there's no math involved. I can be drunk and I can be brain dead like football players and not care about stats and information. So sorry, Dwayne Stats, I'm not going to listen to this.
Give it up for Chip Lakeless.
Can I finish for a second?
He's the star of sports TV's Let Me Finish.
Let me finish. We got an Allman Brothers rock block coming up on FM 72. We got Ramble Man coming up on Joliet's Home for Rock.
Give it up for Chip Lakeless, everybody. Woo!
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure to tune to my show every night. That's following the new WKRP in Cincinnati on Sheboygan's Home for Comedy.
All right, we come back. We're going to get an update on the a review of the new Batman Superman movie. We couldn't actually find a reviewer for it, so we went to the local film reviewer from the Alt Weekly. He's going to take care of the Batman Superman review coming up after the break here live for Pequot's. Chip Lakeless, everybody, let him finish.
Weeknights.
Welcome back to Pequod's Pizza, 2207 North Clybourne.
Yeah.
It's great. Everyone's finishing up their pizza. This is the time of the night. This is what makes Chicago. You know, when you're at the pizza place and they're like, okay, I'm going to go one more piece. Let me get that one more piece. We got some people up front. They're like, I'm going one more piece. TJ Shanoff was the man behind Chip Lakeless. TJ's still here.
Thank
TJ,
you, TJ,
great performance.
That was fun.
Let me ask you, where do you perform in Chicago? Where can people check you out?
See me at a bunch of places. Right now I'm at the Wonderful Annoyance Theater and Bar. If you haven't checked it out, you got to go see it right there in Belmont.
That's
just
a nice
little
spot,
It's gorgeous. McNapier, Jen Esselm run the place. Just about a block west of Clark on Belmont. And I got a show called My Solo Show of All Duets with Second City alumna Rebecca Sohn.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a party. It's the opposite of the sports guy. It's kind of Rebecca plays a character named Shirley LeMay, spelled lame, pronounced LeMay, of course. She's the best. And basically it's watching her have a nervous breakdown for an hour through musical theater classics. And it sounds weird, but trust me, check it out. It's a very fun show. If you, whether you like musical theater or not, we just massacre these songs in the best way possible. So
well,
it's a lot of fun.
We'll have Chip Lakeless back on the show here. We're going to have to. Here comes the playoffs, both the Hawks and the Bulls and everything that's coming up. So Chip's, he's going to have to weigh in.
Well, and there's two things the men love. It's sports and musical theater. So let's combine those two things. Who's better, Rodgers and Hammerstein or the 86 Celtics? We'll be right back.
Thanks a lot, TJ.
Yeah, it's great being here. I love the show. Long-time listener.
Okay, we continue on Character Flaws here on WGN Radio. You know, we wanted to review the new Superman-Batman movie, but you know what? I reached out to Michael Phillips. I reached out to the others in town. And everyone's either at the premiere tonight or busy or already assigned to Big Fat Greek Wedding 2. So we had to dig deep tonight. So we went to our freelance pool, and we found a film critic. From the local Alt Weekly. He does indie film mostly, also some foreign film. I'm sure he can handle the blockbuster. He saw it tonight. Here he is, Yakov Kritikwe. Yakov, are you on the line?
Yes, Justin, hello. I'm here to talk about this movie that I ended up seeing.
Hey, well, great. Tell us about the movie, Yakov. What did you think tonight?
Well, you know, when my editor at La Arts Blog told me that I would go on Tuesday, I could only assume he was sending me to performance artist Orlando Orlando's newest piece, Hold Me While I End, in which the artist tries to escape from a deflating bouncy house to bring attention to the plight of refugees in the same situation.
Okay.
But instead, I found myself at the AMC at a screening of Superman versus Batman. Now, I'll tell you, I try to remain positive. After all, I am a huge fan of courtroom drama. I was most displeased to find out that Superman vs. Batman was not named after the case that brought America's attention to the problem of pollution. The usher told me that I was confusing this case for Godzilla vs. the Smog Monster. But I realized exactly what kind of movie I was in for when I saw people in the theater dressed like superheroes. How can any art form be taken seriously when people are dressing in costume? I mean, Justin, would you take someone seriously if they came to your show dressed like Pete Zimmerman? So, anyway, the movie offended my most delicate senses with its presentation of conflict. It was so lazy and uneducated. The opposite of me. If the filmmakers were actually interested in a meditation on combat, they would have been smart to channel the film Ethan versus Stein. A film which presents the story of the only quadriplegic theremin player in marching band history. But perhaps my recollection of conflict in that movie has been tainted by the fact that half the group I was viewing it with was shot by a gang in Cambodia in 1988, the only public screening of the work. Instead, what unfolded was something I couldn't believe. It was like something out of, Justin, I don't know how to describe this. It was like something out of a comic book. You know, I hate to spit in the film's face with such an analogy, but it offers me no choice. I mean, one of them dresses like a bat with no nod to the plight of actual people suffering from the same problem. And this Superman, portrays an alien with so little subtlety that one would think he is literally from another planet. And he fights a villain whose only crime I could glean was that he invented Facebook. So, you know, in summary, I would say that I would rather be hung over a pit of sharks with a fire slowly burning the rope holding me above them, with a switch releasing me from the trap just barely out of reach, than ever see a monstrosity like this again. Somewhat recommended.
All right, there he is, Yakov Kritikwe. He's a freelance film critic for the Alt Weekly. Yakov, thanks again for doing that. We appreciate it. I know it's not your cup of tea.
Not my thing.
All right, there we go. So there you go. the Batman Superman review, you can check it out in the I like that the download's alt weekly. The download has its own alt weekly. Okay, so when we come back, we're going to catch up with some international improv. That's right. The improv group Juxtaposition is back here. That's going to be something else. That's coming up here on Character Flaws on the Download live at Pequod's Pizza. Woo! Stay with us.
It's just a character.
Live at Pequod's Pizza, 2207 North Clybourne. I love it. There's still people eating. I love it here. It's the Download on WGN. I'm Justin Coffin with you till 11 o'clock when Patty Vasquez takes over with Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. All right, so we are in the middle of Character Flaws here, our sketch and improv showcase every Wednesday night here on the Download. And, you know, one of my favorite improv troupes is actually an international one. They come from Down Under, from Australia. It's a group called Juxtaposition. Very excited to have them back here. They're going to do some live improv for us here at Pequod's, which is always fun to see the magic of improv on stage. I forgot your name. What's your name again here?
Yeah, my name's Rory McShane. Great to see you, Justin. Great to see you. I'm from Juxtaposition.
Rory McShane from Juxtaposition.
Rory McShane.
Pequod's welcome here. Okay.
Real nice.
All right. So you can do some improv. I thought that there were more. I mean, when I read the press release, there were seven people in the improv. It's just you here.
We got seven people back home. I was the one nominated to come around and spread the love, the improv love, all around Chicago via Australia. Had a bit of a budget cut. One of the grants didn't come through, so only had one flight. Had to cancel the other six, unfortunately. Orbitz wouldn't refund the money, so it's just me. Good to see you there, Justin.
All right. It's a solo improv.
Yeah, right. That's okay, right. Solo improv. Right. What I'm going to do is...
That's a hot thing right now, solo improv. So, Rory, Juxtaposition here on the Download. Okay, what are we going to do?
Yeah, right. We are Juxtaposition. We are Australia's number one premier improv theater company, improv group. What we do is we take two things. We take a regular location and then a crazy animal from the zoo, and we juxtapose them in front of you for magic improv moments that are made up completely on the spot. They're going to absolutely blow your mind, and you see fireworks coming out of the walls. So, first of all, to get started, we need a regular location. So, somebody up here on the top floor of Pequod's 2207 Old Clybourne, anyone else in the listening audience want to share?
What do we got? A regular location. What do we got? Like, just shout it out.
Regular,
what do
you got? A regular location.
The United Center. It's
United
a stadium
Center.
Here.
Oh, that's a stadium, a United Center. So that's where people would gather to play a sport. Is that it?
Yeah, exactly.
Like an arena. Regular location where you see a sports team, you have a hot dogs, you pay your ticket, maybe get a bat, bring the kids, have a great time. Now, if I could get a crazy animal from the zoo.
What do you think, Pete? What's a crazy animal from the zoo? What are you thinking?
Let's go crocodile.
Crocodile, what a crazy animal. Oh, my God, that's a weird one. Where did you think of a crocodile? Was a crocodile one day? Oh, might have been. Well, here's the thing. What would happen if you had a bunch of crocodiles in the United Center? Let's take a look at that. And then the improv happens.
Okay, well.
That's it.
I thought you do the improv. You just tell us the setup.
All we do is juxtapose the setup and then move on to the next one.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not how we do things here in America. In Chicago, we actually do the improv. We don't just do the...
You do the actual improv?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we only set it up.
Oh. Okay.
We only set it up.
Okay, well... Okay, Rory, why don't we do it again?
Let's do another one. Let's see another improv. That was a great one. Crocodiles at the United Center. What a weird scene that just took place. Let's get a regular location, another regular location, like a coffee shop or something else like that.
Okay, how about a bar?
A bar, what a great regular location. Go to the bar, get a drink, celebrate a birthday, order some wings. What a great regular life kind of location. Now, let me get a type of vegetable, like any kind of vegetable, like a corn cob.
What do you guys think? You guys got a vegetable back there? Zucchini.
Broccoli, zucchini. Those are two great ones. We'll take zucchini. That's a great, what a great regular vegetable. Oh, my God. It's kind of a crazy vegetable, too. Let's take it. So what would happen if you had a bar filled with a bunch of zucchinis? Let's see it. And let's do another one. We need one more regular location. If we could get one more regular location, like a like an office depot or a train station.
One more location from the back. A location.
Menards.
That's Menards. That's a home. A home.
It's not a restaurant. Or what is
no,
Menards?
No, no, no. It's a home, like a
retirement home.
You like say a home improvement like a store. Home? No, like a home improvement store.
Like a retirement
store.
Home. Like
no,
a home
not like a no, like a
home improvement store.
No, yeah, like a like you go get light bulbs. And
like
stuff.
Aussie's Hammers. That's what we
yeah,
got.
Aussie's
yeah,
Hammers,
like an Aussie's
yeah.
Hammers. Right. Great. Great. So you got what's it called? Menards.
Menards.
Menards. Great. What a great regular location. Like you go to Menards, you get a hammer, get some nails, get a Christmas tree, take the kids. What a great regular slice of life. And now can I get any sexual position?
What do you mean sexual?
Missionary. Oh, we heard it back there. They said just any kind of sexual position.
So what do you... Okay, so mission... Okay, mission.
Well, we got the regular location.
And then...
We got
okay,
Menards.
So,
now we got to juxtapose it with a sexual position.
Okay. Menards and missionary.
So we have a Menards. What would happen if you had a Menards with a bunch of people doing missionary position? Let's take a look at that. And we've been juxtaposition. That's our time. Thank you so much. Pequod's Pizza, top floor, 2207 or Clawboard. Clawboard or Webster.
So you don't do any...
Steps from the L.
You don't do any improv. You just set it up.
We set it up. We set them up and take them down.
Wow. It's different. I guess that's the idea. It's down under.
http://www.juxtaposition.mil.
Okay, M-I-L for the Rory McShane of Juxtaposition. He's the only one who could make it from the seven-person ensemble. Is doing improv here at Pequod's, live at Pequod's. Rory, great to see you.
Live every night at Pequod's for the next 5 weeks, right here, top floor. We got two straight hours of set up and take them down, get a regular location and something crazy. We'll set it up better than everybody in the entire world. Put together and we'll move on to another one. We got two straight hours, next 5 weeks here at Pequod's.
All right, you heard it here first. Rory McShane, Juxtaposition. Let's take a break. Let's take a break live at Pequod's Pizza. It's a download. Stay with us.
Don't be afraid of the tip jar.
All right, live from Pequod's Pizza, 2207 North Clybourne. We're wrapping up the show tonight. Character flaws, of course. It's always fun to do the... last couple minutes at Pequod's, because we did this last time. And it's fun because, you know, it's not too many people that come in to get, you know, a huge pie at 10:30, 10:45. So it's fun to watch everybody wrap up and the parade of people that walk by the table at the end of the download. We're doing character flaws. Wanted to introduce Sandy Marshall. Good to see you, buddy.
Hi, Justin. Hi, Peter. How are you guys?
Good to see you. I live in Toronto, Canada, so we don't see you that often, but you do call in. You're a regular here in the download. And did you see Rory McShane leave?
I did see him. I was just coming up the stairs up to the second floor here at Pequod's, and I passed Rory McShane. He said, thanks so much for the airtime. He's going to be back tomorrow night for, I guess, 2 hours of improv.
Yeah, he's doing two improv setups.
Incredible. Like two straight hours. Like,
two straight hours.
At Pequod's. That's really cool. That's like
improv setups.
Improv setups? Is that
no, it's not
thing?
Just improv. It's improv setups.
Just improv setups?
It's just setups.
So he doesn't do the improv?
Doesn't do the
so there's
improv.
No like improv scene. It's just him doing the setups.
You got it.
Interesting. Okay, I'll have to check
Sandy,
that out.
Sandy, good that you're back in Chicago. I mean, you work for Second City, so you're always back.
I do.
You come back to town, so that's good.
Yeah, it's great to be back. Had an exit row today on the flight, so that's always a really big deal. Really exciting. One quick story about my flight. I was in a line behind a couple of irate people checking into my flight, which I always love because it allows me to sweep in and be the nice guy. You know,
yeah.
Like anything you can do.
Why were they irate? What was their problem?
I think their flights were canceled or something went wrong, you know, and mechanical issues. You know, these planes, these mechanical
they're
issues.
They're mechanical. They're mechanical. Well, having Sandy here, obviously for Juxtaposition, Rory McShane, Sandy's a big fan of our next character here on Character Flaws. You know, the Blackhawks are in a little bit of a skid right now, but I think it's all going to work out. We're not panicking in Chicago because this is sort of what the Blackhawks do. And they'll get to the playoffs and they'll turn it on. One guy, you know, here in the download, being one of the newer shows, we've always had a hard time getting, you know, the top-level guys from the Blackhawks to come on. You know, we don't get the Jeremy Roenick kind of, we don't get the Eddie Olczyk, You know, we have to fight for the scraps, you know, from Cochran and Rokan. So we found our own guy, a guy who actually played on the team back in 2006, 2007. He came up through the farm system. He's been on the Hawks twice. He's a wing, a guy who has become the Downloads Blackhawks analyst. His name is Javi Havavola. Javi, welcome to the Pequods.
Justin, thank you for having me. Great to be here. Pequods,
yeah.
Pequods, great to be here.
So, you know, the Blackhawks right now in the middle of a skid, Javi, so that's not great. What do you do when you're on the ice? You played on the team. You played in the NHL. What goes through your mind when you're, you know, in the middle of a losing streak?
The hard thing is you want to be in the present, but you can't help but be in the past. You know, let's talk about yesterday. Now, make no mistake, the Blackhawks 6-2 loss to the Dallas Stars Tuesday night. It was like a spear to the ribs. It was another loss to the Stars. I saw them outkick the Blackhawks in the first period in Chicago. Another loss indicated the Hawks are too much, better playing with the lead. You know, when they're trailing, it gets on worse. You know, when Patrick Kane said, I'm not sure that's why that's the case. So he's going to have to think about it.
Oh, wow. That's to Pete. Wow. You know, we've been having Javi on the show for the last year, and his I think it's safe to say his analysis has been spotty at times. That sounded like you did the prep. You did a little bit of research. We appreciate it, Javi. Let's get right to the next question. You know, obviously a lot of guys came over in the trade deadline. You know, how's the chemistry? That's really what Hawks fans want to know, is about the chemistry of this team coming together. What's your take on that?
The National Hockey League, NHL, was founded on November 22nd, 1917. Uh-huh.
Okay, that doesn't have anything to do with the question I asked. I mean, I asked about the question, like Andrew Ladd coming back, the Hawks having all the players healthy at the same time. What does it take to have good chemistry on the ice?
Right. Well, you know, the Stanley Cup has had many adventures since its creation in 1893. Okay. Through the years, it's been used as a cereal bowl accidentally left by the side of the road.
Okay, you're just reading Lost Wikipedia.
Like
that's
luggage
not even
that's on not, a 2010 flight from
that's not
New
analysis.
Jersey to
that's,
Vancouver.
That's just you're verbatim reading Canada the Stanley employee. Cup Wikipedia. That's not acceptable for analysis. But, okay, let me just scratch that one. The chemistry one didn't work. What's your prediction for the Hawks coming up here? Do you think that they've got a straight shot to the Stanley Cup?
It's hard to believe, but your dirty kitchen sink has more bacteria than your toilet seat. Use a product labeled as an EPA-registered disinfectant or make your own.
Are you just reading the ads on the side now?
Clean your sink with soap and water first and spray a Mr. Vinegar followed by a Mr.
There's probably a mistake having Javi on
and
here.
And let it air dry.
I don't know. What do you think, Pete?
It started off so strong.
You really did. Last, any parting words, Javi, hockey related?
Crumple paper towels forever. Use microcloths instead. When wet,
right,
they sanitize and clean floors.
Now he's just doing ShamWow commercials.
Tile,
all right.
Eliminate the need for other cleaning products.
Give it up for Javi Havavola, former Blackhawk wing. We're still working on it. He's got to get some reps in before for the playoff run so we don't have this happen again during the playoffs. Javi, great to see you.
Hey, Justin, did you just see Javi Havavola?
Oh, my God, Sandy, yeah, what happened to Javi?
Did you see Javi?
Javi Havavola just walked down the
stairs.
That's amazing.
Guess you get her incredible. That's like a Hawks player.
That's a Hawks
Way
player.
Way to go, man. Congrats.
Thanks, buddy.
Congratulations.
Buddy.